usually the only F1 champion that we've got in the studio is F1 on the keyboard, which we hit for help with Windows. But today, we've got another F1 champion in here. He's got 22 wins, 20 pole positions, and 42 podiums. He's also an Order of the British Empire and has played guitar with Def Leppard and George Harrison. No, he hasn't. Has he? Oh, my God. Please welcome the guy who may as well be named the sexiest man on the planet as well, just to rub it in, ahead of the Grand Prix in Melbourne, F1 world champion, Damon Hill.
It's a big rush hour. Welcome to Damon Hill. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, what a build-up. Oh, my God. Can I live up to that?
Absolutely, you can. Now, it's been Red Bull 1 and 2, Verstappen and Perez, on the podium for the last two races. Do you think they have a chance again this weekend?
Well, you know, the weather forecast is not good. So it's a possible Saturday qualifying could be, you know, a bit on the edge and a little bit of a gamble, but if it's wet. But otherwise, all things being equal, yeah, Red Bull are going to put it on the front row and the rest of them are going to have to do some magic to catch them up.
Damon, talk us through Albert Park. Which drivers do you think it favours ahead of this weekend?
I think they're all capable of getting the maximum out of this place. It is usually the car that will be the thing that holds them up. So it has to be a car that brakes well. It has to be stable under braking. It has to be able to accelerate out of the chicanes well. So a nimble car, one that can keep the tyres in the operating zone. I mean, I don't want to get too technical, but these tyres only work on a very fine window of temperature. And if it's cold, which it looks like it's going to be, the teams that can make their tyres switch on will be, you know, much better to drive.
Mate, I've got to say, mate, I love the evolution of Lewis Hamilton, you know, from go-karting and obviously now 2023, we talk about Mercedes. Do you think it's the last lap for Lewis Hamilton? He's a game changer.
Well, I think, you know, we can't tell at the moment because the longevity of the drivers has been extended. I think they're much fitter. They sort of 40 is the new 30, and you know, Fernando Alonso's looking very happy, age 41 in Aston Martin, and getting on the podium. So I'm sure Lewis will be looking at and thinking, well, I'm not done yet, and he wants that eighth title. He feels very much like he was deprived of that title back in Abu Dhabi, and so yeah, I think he'll give it another year or two and see what Mercedes can come up with. I don't think he's going to change teams. I'd be very surprised if he did. But, yeah, as long as he's enjoying it, that's the key thing. You have to look forward to racing.
Just back on Verstappen and Perez. I mean, it's been a while since two teammates have battled so fiercely, probably not since Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg had their feud in Mercedes. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think this is, you know, going to be a bit tetchy. It already has been in the past. Last year, Max seemed pretty unimpressed with Checo's performance in Monaco, where he prevented inadvertently, I don't think it was deliberate, but he crashed and therefore Max couldn't complete his lap and couldn't get pole position. And the same thing happened in Jeddah, that Max had a problem in qualifying and Sergio got pole position. And so he looked pretty glum and upset about that. I don't think he took it very well, Max. So I think in the Red Bull camp, they'll be perhaps having lunch in different rooms.
This weekend will be Oscar Piastri's first taste of F1 on home soil. How will he do?
Yeah, he's got a bit of a tall order. I mean, a lot of expectation on him, but I think he likes driving. I think he looks like his person. He's very happy to be there and capable. And he's got a great teammate to measure himself against. Lando Norris, who's been tipped as a potential future world champion. So, you know, that's good to be able to compare yourself against someone like that. It's just McLaren themselves have rather let them down so far. And they've changed a lot of people, personnel at McLaren, with a hope that they can turn things around. I think we might have to wait until later in the season for McLaren to come forward with a better car that they can compete with.
I want to ask you about your own career because you had an incredible career, champion in 1996, 22 wins and on the podium 42 times. I mean, F1 drivers, the royalty across the globe, how did it change your life being an F1 champion?
It's huge. You know, it's been going since 1950 was the first season of Formula One, and It's still going strong. It seems to, seems to regenerate itself, and it's been going for such a long time. And it's broadcast globally, so there's no escaping Formula One. It is the most broadcast thing other than the Olympics and the World Cup, and they only happen every 4 years. So it's just an amazing show, an amazing sport.
You were locked in some quite intense battles throughout your career with fellow world-class drivers. Were there any particular rivalries that you enjoyed most?
Well, I enjoyed racing with Jack. I saw Jack Villeneuve actually on the way into the paddock earlier. And, you know, he's a great sportsman, you know. He was good fun to race with. Some of them don't take losing so well.
Who were they, Damon?
Well, me for one. it can get a bit stressful sometimes, and some drivers keep themselves apart. But I enjoyed every minute, really. I mean, although I might have looked like I was down in the dumps, or you know, my wife will tell you I was wanted to kick the cat, and yes, but I would rather have had that than never had it, and it was a great opportunity to show everyone what I could do, you know. So it gave me that shot at it, and it was, everyone gets to see it. You know, if you're a doctor or a nurse or you're, you know, fireman, nobody's listening, watches it on telly, do they? They do all these amazing things, but we're just spoiled, really. We get all this attention for doing something you love.
And Damon, that's the thing, you know, you look at the heavyweight boxers, everyone wants to be a heavyweight boxer, but no one can be. But you look at the F1 drivers, we love what you guys do. And I've got to say, the thing about what you guys do is you travel at speeds like we can only imagine. But even, I think when Ayrton Senna passed away, you know, that wasn't just about motor racing. The ripple effect through sport was a sad day. And it just makes you understand, you know, how good what you guys do, but there comes a risk with it.
Yeah, there's a cost. You know, nothing comes without a cost, and some of the best things in life have a very serious downside to them. And this is the extraordinary thing about human beings, is that we keep pressing on, you know, even though we might be deterred. And we look for the upside, and we try and, since Ayrton and Roland died, you know, the sport's become much safer. And if you look at Roman Grosjean's accident in Bahrain a couple of years back, it was absolutely horrific. He went straight through a barrier. The car caught fire. You know, but he was saved because of the halo device that they put on top of the car. And you know, that's just remarkable that he walked away from that. And so, you know, some good has come of some tragedies.
Well, the broadcast gets underway today and continues right across the weekend on Network 10 and 10 Play. We thank you very much, Damon Hill, for joining us on The Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.